Listen for the word of the Lord from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from the first chapter, 67 through 79, and then from the first chapter again, some earlier verses. When Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He came to set his people free. He set the power of salvation in the center of our lives and in the very house of David, his servant. Just as he promised long ago through the preaching of his holy prophets, deliverance from our enemies and every hateful hand. Mercy to our fathers as he remembers to do what he said he'd do, what he swore to our father Abraham, a clean rescue from the enemy camp, so we can worship him without a care in the world, made holy before him as long as we live. And you, my child, prophet of the highest, will go ahead of the master and prepare his ways, present the offer of salvation to his people, the forgiveness of their sins. Through the heartfelt mercies of our God, God's sunrise will break upon us, shining on those in the darkness, those sitting in the shadow of death, then showing us the way, one foot at a time, down the path of peace." And then from the first chapter of Luke again, these are verses 46 to 55. And Mary said, "I'm bursting with God news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. God took one good look at me, and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose very name is holy, set apart from all others. His mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe of before him. He bared his arm and showed his strength, scattered the bluffing braggarts. He knocked tyrants off their high horses, pulled victims out of the mud. The starving poor sat down to a banquet. The callous rich were left out in the cold. He embraced his chosen child, Israel. He remembered and piled on the mercies, piled them high. It's exactly what he promised, beginning with Abraham and right up to now." These are the words of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for these songs from Zechariah and Mary. And we pray that their music might have its way with our hearts and our minds, and might have its way with this world, that what they sing about, Jesus Christ and his lordship over this world, might ever so more be manifest in our hearts and to the far ends of the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. See you. You know, it's pretty amazing that at this time of year, when I pretty much, like everybody else, puts on Christmas music, that memories of events and people instantly flood my heart and mind. Persons that I haven't thought about all year long, or perhaps even for several years, are all of a sudden remembered. Such is the power of music. I hear Dave Seville and the Chipmunks singing, "Here Comes Santa Claus," and all of a sudden, I'm 5 years old again. The philosopher Plato was so impressed and alarmed by the dynamic of song that in his work, The Republic, he argued that societies would of necessity have to censor music. Music could bring about revolution, after all. It's not for nothing that soldiers march to the beat of drums. The German composer Ludwig von Beethoven once said to a friend, "Music is a higher revelation than all wisdom and philosophy." And he was right. At critical points in the Word of God, the Scriptures, something of such importance is being communicated that music is the only adequate medium to convey the revelation. After the Israelites passed through the Red Sea and were delivered from Pharaoh and the Egyptian army, we are told in Exodus chapter 15 that Moses and the people broke out into song to celebrate what the Lord God had done for them. Upon the humiliating defeat of Israel at the hand of the Philistines, a battle where Saul, Israel's first king, and his son Jonathan were killed, David could do nothing in response but to sing a dirge. "Your glory, O Israel, lies slain upon the high places," he cried out. The Psalms is an entire book where the prayers are set to music. The Song of Songs is one long wedding song. And the Lamentations of Jeremiah are a series of elegies that the prophet sang when the people of God forfeited the gift of the land and were carried off into exile. It's no surprise when the Apostle Paul, when he had to get across to his churches the mind-blowing reality of God coming amongst us in the person of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul resorted to hymns. He is the image of the invisible God, Paul sang to the Colossians. Though he was in the form of God, the apostle crooned to the Philippians, he did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but rather regarded it as emptying himself and taking the form of a slave and humbling himself and having obedience to the point of death on a cross. If the book of Revelation is to be believed, right now as we speak, the upper world of heaven, where they see all things as they really are, the faithful are not sitting around discussing the mess of matters down on the lower world of earth. No, they know all things, and so therefore, they sing. Therefore, when both the old over-the-hill priest Zechariah and the young adolescent girl Mary break out into song at the beginning of Luke's gospel, as we've heard here this morning, we should know that something big is going on, something earth-shattering. And their respective lyrics give witness to this reality. Zechariah, who was forbidden from saying anything during the entire duration of his wife's pregnancy, I suppose that was a wonderful time for her, when his tongue was finally untied, all he could do was break out in music, in song. Zechariah sings so that all would know the significance of this birth that we celebrate. Babies are born all the time. Ariana will give birth on Tuesday, unless something happens before then and it happens on Monday. Every baby ever born was and is always beautiful, regardless of circumstances. Every single last one made and loved by God. But this birth was different. Different from any before in Israel and different than any before anywhere. There is every birth that has ever taken place, and then there is this one. Because this one sums up everything Israel existed for in the first place. Zechariah's libretto, his lyric, is like that of Handel's Messiah, simply taking words from the Bible. He alludes to the first book of the Hebrew Scriptures, Genesis, when he recalls the covenant that God made with Abraham and the promise that the whole world would be blessed in and through him. Zechariah alludes to the last book of the Hebrew Scriptures, Malachi, when he speaks of the rising of the sun breaking upon us the day that God would act. And also when he mentions the one who will go before to prepare the way of the Lord, his own son, John the Baptist. He sings from the Torah, from Judges, from Samuel, from Kings, from the Psalms, and from the prophets. The whole of Israel being as a people is pulled in by Zechariah to witness to this event, this birth. In no uncertain terms, he's singing, "This is the big event. The day of the Lord that we've all been waiting for." Redemption, salvation, deliverance, mercy, rescue, forgiveness, compassion, peace. Everything that Israel and the world longed for coming to pass in this birth is what he sings. Most of us know the story and its details, but if you don't, you have something wonderful to learn. But as great as Zechariah's music is, it's Mary's song that is the one that is really revolutionary. The sort of song that would have made Plato very, very nervous. And a song that is still so powerful and subversive that its reading and proclamation puts more ministers, preachers, and priests in jail across the world than any other passage in all of Scripture. That's how powerful these words are. Mary's womb carries the anointed of the Lord God, her Savior, and therefore the status quo of the proud, the mighty, and the rich are going to be problematized. The power dynamic of this world, the way that we have all learned it, is being turned upside down. Such is the birth of this King, this Jesus. It has and will continue to change everything. If Mary's song does not rattle your cage, even just a little bit, then really, you're not hearing her sing. Because she most certainly testifies to the upsetting of the ox cart in this world. This birth, this son of hers being born, is going to result in a total reprioritization on earthly life. The low and the hungry, just like Israel in slavery in Egypt, they get God's favor. The mighty and the rich, like Pharaoh and anybody else who lords it over fellow human beings, they're in for a big surprise. We tend to domesticate Christmas by thinking of the bucolic scenery of the inn and the manger and the animals there with Mary and Joseph and the angels and, of course, the baby in the manger. The politicians and the generals and big business throughout the world, they all like that kind of Christmas. It's no threat whatsoever to their modus operandi, and speaking of big business, it is incredibly beneficial to their bottom line. But nobody gets thrown in jail simply for the manger scene. Mary's song says the manger scene is not bucolic and tame in the least. Rather, it is the higher revelation that only music can convey. Sin, evil, and death, the array of power in this world that opposes the power of God. That array of powers are being called to account and judged and done away with. Some of this array of powers we are so used to in this world, so used to the status quo, so used to thinking and feeling and living the way that we have our old lives that we simply are not aware of how evil is entrenched in our own lives. Mary's song is a total wake-up call to humanity that fails to acknowledge how bad and perverse things really are, and that there's a God who will not stand for it. Things will be put to rights. It's not for nothing that for centuries the church has prayed and sung Zechariah's song, the Benedictus as it is known, very early in the morning. It has served to frame the coming day that the person is about to live. That all of life, the good and the bad, the highs and the lows, the joy and the sorrow, all of that is to be understood in light of the salvation that God has wrought in this birth. And it's not for nothing that in the evening toward the end of the day, that for centuries the church has prayed and sung Mary's song, the Magnificat as it is known. It has served to frame the day that has just occurred, what we have just lived through and experienced, the good and the bad, the highs and the lows, the joy and the sorrow, the right and the wrong. It's all to be understood in light of God judging the world in this birth. The church has known the power and the danger of music and have understood these songs as critical weapons that God has given you and me for the sake of living faithfully, for the sake of seeing one another and seeing this world in the way that the heavens do. That the heavens looked upon you and me and everybody else and said, this can't keep going on the way that it is. Something has to be done, and I am the one to do it. The only way that this world is going to be delivered, saved, redeemed, and we have joy, forgiveness, justice, hope, and peace is for God to do it God's way. Through coming amongst us in the vulnerability of a baby, human flesh, knowing the life that you and I live. And where the rest of you and me and everyone else who has ever lived, succumbing to sin, evil, and death. Sooner or later, coming to unbelief. Jesus Christ being the one who says, on behalf of you and me and everyone else, I'll believe for you. I will make the offering. My life will count for your life. I will be the true human being. I will be what the heavens expect. I will be the one who goes to the cross for you when you, amid your sin, evil, and death, could not. That is the power of the King that the powers of this world are threatened by. Because it rattles their cages. It undoes their power base. But that most certainly is what these songs are on about. God desires you and me and every single last person be free of these powers so that you and me might be able to love one another, love our neighbor, and even love our enemies. Jesus Christ has come so that God might have the world that he intended. Amen.